Packers have played their four quarters. Now it's time for the fifth quarter. Here are Matt and Rob with The Athletic's Matt Schneidman.
And it's blocked! Oh my goodness, the Packers block it, and they're going to win! Green Bay survives!
Brooks, 94, with a penetration right through the A-gap between the guard and the center. Gets his left hand up. The kick's a little low. And that fingertip is all you need from this distance. Just said you can't take any of it for granted. And they did everything they could to get into that. And it is absolutely heartbreaking for the Bears. Wow. Exhilarating for the Packers.
2019, the final at Soldier Field.
Jeez, that's a way to end a game.
I think the call on Fox nailed it. The Packers survived in Soldier Field.
Yeah.
We bring in The Athletic's Matt Schneidman. Good morning, sir. Thanks for joining us.
My pleasure. How are you guys?
Good, man. So going into that game at Soldier Field, is that how you would have predicted the ending to be?
No, you know, I had said all week I didn't think it was going to be a blowout. I thought, you know, the Packers, you know, the Bears, obviously from the outside, seemed like they were in crisis mode. And yes, they fired their offensive coordinator, but they were still 4-5. Like, they have good players on both sides of the ball. They have talent. And maybe the, you know, offensive coordinator change would inject some life into them. So I predicted a Packers 10-point win, but I did not expect it to go like that, no.
So were you surprised at how much Caleb Williams was able to hurt that defense with his legs? I mean, there were some QB-designed runs, not just scrambles. I know Kenny Clark said after the game, the defense didn't really prepare much during the week for the designed runs.
Right, and both Kenny and Xavier McKinney said after the game they were surprised and caught off guard about how many of those the Bears ran, and Kenny attributed that to just the midweek offensive coordinator change. You can't really, you know, prepare for stuff that you haven't seen on tape. Matt LaFleur said that, you know, the one area an OC change could challenge the Packers would be with unscouted looks, and Caleb Williams certainly did damage with his legs, not only on the design runs, which were pretty effective, but just scrambling when the pocket collapsed. LaFleur said after the game that the Packers' rush lane integrity was not good enough and allowed Caleb Williams to get out and scramble. So, yeah, absolutely that was a problem for Green Bay yesterday.
Yeah, you mentioned the scrambles as well. I mean, this defense had done really well against mobile quarterbacks with Jalen Hurts and Anthony Richardson, Kyler Murray. None of them really killing that D with their legs. Why do you think Caleb was so effective with the scrambles?
Yeah, I just don't know that that's something the Bears have really shown on tape. A, you know, I'm not sure exactly the pass rush plan the Packers went into the day with in those other games that you mentioned against mobile quarterbacks. They had a pass rush plan to just, you know, it's called a mush rush, basically just condense the pocket, make the quarterback throw, don't give them any lanes to escape. But the Bears entered yesterday 32nd in sack rate allowed. They give up a ton of pressure, a ton of sacks. So it made sense that the Packers maybe wanted to try to get after Caleb Williams and cause some pressure, cause some sacks. It just so happened that he was very good at getting out of that and, you know, making something out of nothing with his legs, which, you know, we knew he was capable of. But I'm just not sure the Bears had really shown all that throughout the first nine games, and I don't blame the Packers for trying to get after him. It just didn't really work out.
You could see that there was some new offensive coordinating going on for the Bears, given that Caleb Williams wasn't just sitting in the pocket and getting sacked nine times during a game. I think that it was clear that there was a new direction at play.
Yeah, for sure. And like I said, those design runs and on whether it was, you know, 4th-and-2 or 3rd-and-1. I can't remember exactly how many there were, but that's the unscouted look that the new offensive coordinator, Thomas Brown, gives you. And something the Bears did really well in the first half, and I'd have to look at the numbers in the second half too, was get the ball out quick, short completion. They didn't really try the Packers deep that many times. That's kind of become a theme with Xavier McKinney back there, and that can beat a defense too. The Bears had, what, six possessions, I think, and they were just taking what was given to them, and it was really efficient.
It's the fifth quarter with the Athletics, Matt Schneidman. Matt, give us your three studs and your three duds from Soldier Field.
Yeah, I'll go. The studs were Carl Brooks, obviously, for blocking that field goal. Josh Jacobs, 134 total yards on 23 touches, I believe, and the touchdown. He just continues to be super efficient. Yesterday, he showed more in the pass-catching area of his game, especially with some yards after the catch. And then Christian Watson, four catches, career high, 150 yards. That's his former career high by 40 yards. Shows us that, yeah, there is some number one wide receiver in there somewhere. And then the duds, I'm going Keyshawn Nixon / Carrington Valentine. Packers need Jair Alexander to be healthy badly. He's easily their best corner. The last two seasons, Jair has played 15 or more games. He's made All-Pro, but he's just been injured too much. I know Ian Rappaport reported the knee injury isn't major, but we'll see about his status for next Sunday against the 49ers in Green Bay. And then I'm going to give one to Matt LaFleur, because he had his explanation for going forward on fourth and goal from the six after the game, because he said possessions are at a premium. He thought, hopefully, at worst case scenario, they get the ball back in favorable field position after the Bears punt. But what gives you confidence that the Bears were going to punt from their own goal line and you were going to be able to get the ball back at, say, the 50-yard line? You're down five with about 12 minutes left. You kick the field goal. You take the 3 points. I did not get that decision at all. And then LaFleur said the play call wasn't that great anyway. So Matt LaFleur, Keyshawn Nixon, Carrington Valentine, the three duds, Carl Brooks, Josh Jacobs, Christian Watson, the three studs.
What did you think of LaFleur's calls for a pass on second and one at the 5-yard line when it was clear that Mr. Jacobs was very effective on the ground, especially on first down with a 9-yard run in that sequence?
Yeah, just the wrong call. I mean, obviously, hindsight's 20/20, so if they complete a pass on that play, we're saying, oh, great call. You know, they thought the Bears thought the Packers were going to run, and they caught him off guard and threw for a touchdown. Great call, Matt LaFleur. So, you know, hindsight, like I said, is 20/20. LaFleur did say after the game, bad call. Should have just run it. And, you know, before the play, if you had to say, what would you rather do here, pass or run, you would say run, because that's how they kind of got down there. So, yeah, I think that's one he would definitely like to have back. Overall, the red zone efficiency just needs to be better. They were 3-for-5 in the red zone with touchdowns yesterday, and they came into the game 29th in the NFL with about a 47% red zone touchdown percentage. So it was better by percentage yesterday, but optically, not get any points on two of your trips inside the 10-yard line, that needs to change, because you're not beating good teams in this league with no points or just field goals in those situations, like we saw against the Lions a couple weeks ago.
It's the fifth quarter with the Athletics, Matt Schneidman. You mentioned the problems inside the 20-yard line. I mean, coming into the game, converting just 47.1% of their trips inside the opposing 20-yard lines into touchdowns. What have you seen? Why do you think they're struggling so much in that department?
There's really no one answer. It's play calling, it's execution. And by execution, I mean, like, on that, you know, horizontal run to Jaden Reed yesterday, Christian Watson misses a block. And Kyler Gordon is able to stuff Jaden Reed for a loss of 5 yards. And then Jordan Love, lack of execution on the throw high to Tucker Kraft. Sometimes it's play calling with Matt LaFleur. Sometimes it's just good defense. The Bears were the number one red zone defense in the NFL entering yesterday, and they showed why in a couple instances. I know the Packers did score 3 touchdowns, but they still left some meat on the bone, if you will, and they know that. So I think it's a little bit of a couple different things. And like I said, if they're playing the 49ers or the Lions or the Vikings, they can't afford to come up empty or even with 3 points on some of those drives.
It's the fifth quarter with the Athletics, Matt Schneidman. What did you think of the Packers D without Preston Smith? I know Brenton Cox Jr. had a nice game for himself. Others got opportunities as well.
Yeah, Cox flashed nicely early on with that TFL against the run and a sack. and I understand the final stat sheet shows three sacks, which is okay. Two of those, obviously, in a key moment on the final drive with T.J. Slayton and Rashawn Gary. But overall, the Packers just didn't get enough pressure. I'd need to look at the final pressure numbers or sacks on Caleb Williams. I don't expect them to get nine sacks like the Patriots did against the Bears. But for a team that, as I said, enters Sunday with the worst sack rate allowed in the NFL in the Bears, Packers' pass rush just wasn't good enough. They've been inconsistent pretty much all season. Their two great games were against the Texans and the Titans, if I remember correctly. But other than that, it's been a little underwhelming. I know sometimes they haven't, you know, really tried to sack the quarterback technically, like we talked about with some of these mobile guys. But Matt LaFleur said it after the game. Their rush lanes need to be better. If they're not going to sack him, they need to keep him in the pocket, and they didn't do that well enough. Brenton Cox earned some more snaps for sure, but I don't think with or without Preston Smith really changes much with this pass rush. They still need to be a lot better.
It's the fifth quarter with the Athletics, Matt Schneidman, and now the 49ers are next. This is going to be a tough matchup.
Yeah, the 49ers are 5-5, though. They're not as good as they are in years past, and they lost to the Seahawks yesterday. It's the regular season, so the Packers are probably going to win this game. And, heck, they might even win a playoff game against the 49ers this year, because this is a down year for San Francisco. But they still have a lot of the same talent that has snake-bitten the 49ers in years past. They still have Christian McCaffrey. Still have, you know, a couple solid wide receivers led by Deebo Samuel, and Juwan Jennings has really come on. Brock Purdy's still there. Trent Williams is still there. So I would never take the 49ers lightly by any means, but I think this is a pretty winnable game for Green Bay.
All right, we'll see how things play out this weekend, and we'll talk to you on Monday after the game. Thanks, Matt.
All right, thanks, guys.
You bet. That's the fifth quarter with the Athletics, Matt Schneidman, brought to you by Robinson Heating and Cooling. Get your furnace ready for winter with a tune-up from Robinson Heating and Cooling. Call them today to stay warm all season long. Robinson Heating and Cooling, it's your comfort, their commitment.